Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Today is the final Sunday of the Easter season. Next Sunday will be the celebration of Pentecost, the third of the major church festivals. And we certainly encourage you to join in worshiping as we think of God's outpouring of His Spirit upon the church. We welcome you this morning. I have just a couple of announcements. Most of them are in the announcement sheet, and that is a reminder of VBS forms, because that will be coming up, and they need to start putting things together for Vacation Bible School. I believe all the announcements are in there. The only new one is to let you know that the new portals of prayer are available at the back of the church. So let us begin our worship this day singing hymn 493, A Hymn of Glory.
Your name eternally. eternally. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Oh, risen Christ, ascended Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We will join together now in the responsive reading of the introit, Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is
when brothers dwell in unity.
It is like the precious oil on the head,
running down on the beard,
of Aaron,
running down on the collar of his robes.
It is like the dew of Hermon,
which falls on the mountains of Zion.
For there the Lord has commanded the blessing,
life forevermore.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who hear their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. This is a feast of victory for our God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. His blood set us free to be people of God. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Power, riches, wisdom, and strength, and honor, blessing, and glory are His. This is the feast of victory. Also with you.
Let us pray. O King of glory, Lord of hosts, uplifted in triumph far above all heavens, leave us not without consolation, but send us the Spirit of truth, whom you promised from the Father. For you live and reign with him and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 1. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out, and it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language, Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office.' So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection." And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was also called Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle, which is also a portion of the text for our meditation today, from Revelation to St. John, chapter 22. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also, on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they shall reign forever and ever." And he said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his angels to show his servants what must soon take place. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and the sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. He who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's rise.
Hallelujah, Lord, to shall we go. You have the words of eternal life. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "I did not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We join together now in professing our Christian faith as we speak the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
This is the portion of the service that's been set aside for the instruction of the children. I'd like to have them come and join me for the children's message. How are you today?
Good,
and I'm sure glad to hear that. Last Thursday was a very important day in the church. Do you know what that day was? That was Ascension. And that's the day that we celebrate that Jesus went back up into heaven to be with God. He sits at the right hand of God. And that is really good news for us, because by going back to heaven means that it's possible for him to be everywhere. In other words, it's possible for him to be with us today as we worship. And as I think about looking up into the sky, I brought along a picture. Do you know what that is?
A kite.
Have you ever flown a kite?
Yeah.
Yep. Is it fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're fun to play with, aren't they? And you know what? They come in all different sizes and shapes and colors. You made kites in school. Mm-hmm. All right. And that's pretty good. But did you know that kites originally weren't toys? In fact, they were invented by the Chinese military, and they were used to send messages. So the color of the kite and the shape of the kite and the patterns painted on the kite, those were all secret coded messages. So someone would paint a message on the kite and they'd send it up in the air so that the soldiers who were far away could see that and they would get the message. They would be able to see those very important messages. Well, do you realize that you and I, that we have been given a very important message? Mm-hmm. Yes, it's the message that God loves us. It's the message about Jesus, our Savior. And so we don't have to be sad. We don't have to be afraid because God loves us and we are His children. So if we have to share that message with other people, how do you think we would share it?
Tell other people.
Can't get any plainer than that. We need to tell other people. And you know, and if not just our words, we also show other people. The very fact that you're here this morning in church is a witness or a message to the people around us that it's important for us to come together and worship Jesus. But you're right, we need to tell our friends all about God. And that's how we share that very important message with the whole world. We don't put it on a kite and send it up, but yet we share the love of Jesus. That's all for this morning. Thanks for coming up. And as Jesus has ascended to his throne on high, let's join in singing hymn 525, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns, all music but his own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless King through all eternity.
Crown
him the Virgin Son, the God incarnate born, whose arm those crimson trophies won, which now his brow adorn. Fruit of the mystic rose, yet of that rose the stem, the root whence mercy ever flows, the babe of Bethlehem.
Crown him
the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty can truly bear that sight, but downward bend their wondering eyes at mystery so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed o'er the grave and rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die.
Crown him the
Lord of hell, enthroned in worlds above. Crown him the King to whom is given the wondrous name of love. Crown him with many crowns as thrones before him fall. Crown him, ye kings, with many crowns, for he is King.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Our text from Revelation. And Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end." This is our text. In his book, Rewriting the Family Script, Roger Hillestrom notes that young children are egocentric. And that means that their view of the world is so small that they think that they are the center of things. And he says that as a child, he and his family took a drive one evening, and he remembers assuming that as they traveled, that the moon followed them home and then stayed there all night, hovering over their house. I mean, wouldn't that be nice, your own personal moon? But of course, young children, they aren't the only ones who are egocentric. I'm sure you can think of a number of adults that fit the category as well, who think that the world revolves around them. I mean, some of those people are well-known personalities. I remember Muhammad Ali saying, "I am the greatest." And frankly, there's a lot of adults that think that they are the greatest. I mean, that's why they even have the expression of the GOAT, the greatest of all time. Well, I wonder if anybody has ever clued them in to the reality that the world really doesn't revolve about them. The book, The Purpose-Driven Life, begins with these words, "It's not about you." I mean, that's a pretty good sentence for us to remember as we come to today's message from the book of Revelation, that it's not about us. And as long as we remain focused on ourselves and our needs and our desires, we're never going to be able to touch God. Because I think touching God requires that we focus on God. And in our text, Jesus says, "See, I'm coming soon." Christ tells us, "My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work." He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let everyone who hears say, 'Come.' And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. And the one who testifies to these things says, 'Surely I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." So let me say it again. It's not about us. In these past weeks, I've preached a number of times from the book of Revelation. And I began the first time by saying, it begins with Jesus. And that's where we might end as well. You see, it's not about us. It's all about him. It's about his sacrifice upon the cross. How does the hymn put it? "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown?" One beautiful November morning, a man by the name of Henry Coffeen, he launched his monoplane into the air, and things seemed perfect for the first few moments aloft. And then, while he was running through some acrobatic maneuvers, the plane's engine exploded into flames. And Coffeen bailed out just in time. But he awoke in the hospital with third-degree burns over most of his body. And the next few months were the most excruciating of his life. Every day, nurses had to scrub away dead skin so that new skin could grow back. And the fact is, that procedure is so painful that patients often scream in agony. And he cried uncontrollably when it was time for his next treatment. But one of Henry's daily visitors on that burn ward was a flying buddy of his named John Parsons. And Parsons, he was a devout follower of Christ. And each time he visited Henry, he would read Bible verses on God's strength and comfort. Well, Henry tried to block out that part of his friend's visit, because the fact is, Henry didn't believe in God. But one day, as he was undergoing another scrubbing, his thoughts turned to God, in spite of his efforts to block his mind. I mean, what good was God? Coffeen wondered. He couldn't understand why he was having to suffer the way that he was. And then some of John Parsons' words came back to Henry. And think about this. If Jesus was God's son, and Jesus suffered beatings and crucifixion, then he certainly understood Henry's pain. And Henry's next thought overwhelmed him. I mean, think about it. Why would anyone deliberately withstand pain? And the only answer could be love. Jesus must have loved us with such an incredible love to subject himself to that kind of pain. So the next time his friend John Parsons visited, Henry actually listened to the passages that he read. And the next time that he underwent a scrubbing, Henry focused on this verse from Philippians: I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And he turned his life over to Jesus because he knew that Jesus understood his pain. You know, he wasn't the first person ever to be touched by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. When we think about it, we may not be able to understand all of the musings that theologians seem to come up with about the significance of the cross. But yet you and I, we know what it means to us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You see, it's not about us. It's about what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus and what he has done for us on the cross. It's all about Jesus. It's also about his victory over death. I mean, I don't think you knew, though, when you made the effort to come to church this morning, that we were going to be dealing with the very heart of our faith. But that's exactly what we need to do. I mean, how can you possibly experience what it means to be touched by God without acknowledging Christ's victory over the grave? You see, you can't leave out the cross or the cemetery when you deal with Christ coming into the world. And so there before us today is Jesus. The cross was splintered, the grave was torn open, and Jesus, alive, stands before us with a smile on his face. We just had the joy of celebrating the ascension to the right hand of God. And we're able to celebrate that he is able to be with us wherever we are. We celebrate that he has poured out his Spirit on the church. We celebrate that he has called us to be a part of his family. You know, there are many, many people through the ages who have discovered that this is the real secret of happiness. That when we know Christ, and when we understand that his death on the cross was on our behalf, that his victory over the grave was a promise to us of everlasting life, that's when we know true peace and happiness, a peace and a happiness that nothing can take away. You see, it's all about him, my friends. Do you know this Christ? You know, Christ was more than a great teacher. He was more than a healer. He was more than a worker of miracles. According to John in his book of Revelation to us today, Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. He's the Lamb who was slain, who was resurrected, and who now reigns, seated at the right hand of the Father, world without end. And now today, this same Christ issues you and I, he issues us an invitation. When he says, come, all who desire to come. And this is how the Revelation ends. This is how the Bible ends. It's all about him. So Christ is saying to us, come. He's reaching out his hands, those nail-scarred hands. He's reaching out his hands to us today as well. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, may it keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
What shall I render to the Lord for his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. My cup of salvation, and will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
Gracious and loving God, receive these offerings that we bring this day. Lord, you have poured out so many blessings upon us. And now, Lord, bless these offerings. Make them useful for the work of your church and the proclamation of your word. Lord, may your Spirit work through that word to strengthen our faith and to one day bring all people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have strayed from among us, that they would not go their own way unto perdition, but turn from their evil way and live, that they may have the joy, that we may have the joy of welcoming them again. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the church on earth may be one, united in doctrine, in witness, and at the table of the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may grow in the knowledge of God's word and be faithful teachers of that word to our children and those not yet of the kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the nations of the world, that they would be healed by the ministry of the church and their ragings would be stilled by the proclamation of the gospel of Christ. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may joyfully bring the fruits of our labors and the tithes and offerings of a grateful faith to the Lord, and that the church may not lack for resources to accomplish God's purpose, nor the poor suffer need because of our indifference to their plight. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the sick may be healed, the suffering relieved, the grieving comforted, and the dying granted peace. Especially, O Lord, we raise up in our prayers Duane and Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Bill and Gary, Bryston and Joe, Kim and Andrew and Michelle, Brandy and Heather, Gary and Michael, Ray and Chelsea, Norma and Ron, Leo and Marisol and Tom, and all of those others, Lord, who we name before you in our hearts. And that the Lord would strengthen them in their weakness, grant patience in their trials, and give them endurance for the race set before them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For pure hearts that are worthily, that we worthily receive the body and blood of Christ for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For hope in the heavenly city that Jesus promises to bring, that we would spurn all the allurements of this world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Lord,
Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation, rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead.
We draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In the name of the Lord,
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen.
We join together. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world.
Welcome to the table of
grant us peace.
The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who sing the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises and leads his people forth in joy. With shouts of thanksgiving, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all of your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. We will join in singing our closing hymn, 492, On Christ's Ascension, I Now Build.
On Christ's ascension, I now build. Put hope on my ascension. This hope alone has all. still test in him alone. No other rest remaining. For where my treasure went before, there all my thoughts will ever soar to still our deepest yearning. Oh, grant, dear Lord, this grace to me, recalling your ascension, that I may serve you faithfully in thanks for my redemption. And then when all my days will cease, let me depart in joy and peace.